Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, the main topic we're going to cover today is education, but I tell you what, we can branch out into housing, property taxes, you name it. Always great to have Kendall Cotton, the CEO of the Frontier Institute, here in the house with us on Montana Talks. Kendall, thanks for dropping in this morning.
Hey, good to be here.
Yeah, so, well, let's just get the news out of the way first. Tonight, you're actually in town. You're in Billings for a Education Freedom Workshop event tonight. And I know my wife's going to be there. There's going to be a lot of folks in the house for that. So it sounds like an incredible event. Just tell us what you're going to be, even for those who are elsewhere across Montana that can't make the event, tell us what you're going to be talking about tonight.
Sure. There's a lot of changes going on with Montana's education landscape. There's a whole bunch of new school choice laws available for parents. Parents need to know about these options and, you know, what they have available to them when they're approaching the fall school year. So that's our purpose tonight. We're going to be calling attention to all the new options available, walking people through what's happening, and hopefully keeping the momentum going so we can expand school choice further statewide. So that's our goal. We're going to have some great speakers. Trish Shriver is going to be speaking. She's in the studio with us today. Doors open at 5:30. Event starts at 6, and then anybody's welcome to attend.
You know, and it's funny, too, when you mention school choice, people will naturally think, oh, he's talking about private schools or independent schools or Christian schools or Catholic schools. School choice, no, it's not just about private school choice. It's about public school choice and more options on the public school standpoint as well.
Absolutely. We have open enrollment. You know, parents don't need to pay tuition to send their kid to another school district anymore after the legislative changes in 2023. So these are important things that parents need to know about as they're looking at educating their child this fall.
I think it was back during the legislative session time period of 2023 here in Montana, and you and then our friend Henry Kriegel with Americans for Prosperity Montana, I think you guys were both telling me, hey, Aaron, you got to meet Trish Shriver. You got to get her on your show. She, when it comes to education and school choice, she is the whoa man when it comes to education freedom. She's now a senior education fellow for the Frontier Institute. We'll talk with her after the break, but how would you describe Trish Shriver and what she does for school choice here in Montana, Kendall?
You know, she is the expert when it comes to all of these new school choice laws in the state. So she can break down the ins and outs for parents, what they need to know, and also for policymakers, you know, what more needs to be done? How can we make sure that every family has the opportunity to get the best education for their child?
You know, it was funny. It was actually timely. Yesterday, I was, you know, driving across town, and I don't know what prompted it. Maybe I was thinking about this event coming up, but I was thinking about this whole idea of more options in education. And you know, not everybody we had a homeschool caller. That's what it was. Not everybody homeschools their kids because they want to homeschool their kids, or they don't want their kids in a public school or whatever. Sometimes they do it because they have to. And I was thinking about a friend of mine in Glasgow, Montana, when I was a kid. And, you know, he had a 40-mile one-way trip to school every day. Maybe it was 60. And so that's why he homeschooled for quite some time, right? So anyway, looking forward to catching up with Kendall and Trish Shriver right after this break. We'll chat about education and much more.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Hey, let's jump right into it here. You know, I mentioned Trish Shriver, a senior education fellow for the Frontier Institute. Trish, great to have you back on the show. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I know we made you kind of blush with that introduction, but you've been working in education and school choice, education freedom for quite some time now.
I have been, and Montana's kept me busy because up until about a year ago, we didn't have too much of it. So things have changed.
Yeah, recap if you can for us. You know, Kendall Cotton and the Frontier Institute, they were there on the ground at the legislature working on all these important issues, housing reform, educational choice initiatives. And so the legislature really got a lot accomplished. How would you recap everything that got done last year in the session?
Sure. So 2023 was huge. And there were, I would say, four major education freedom bills, five really, that went through. One being the tax credit scholarship, which we already had, and they raised the aggregate there so that more students can access that, which is fantastic. And then also we passed a special education savings account, which is amazing. At the time, we were only one of 12 states that had any form of an education savings account. Now with another legislative session having gone through in most other states, we're up to 21 in the nation now. And then, of course, we passed two charter bills, one for traditional schools known as public charter schools, and then one that allows independent boards to come in and be authorized to run public choice schools, as they're called, the Community Choice Schools Act. And that was the one bill that I was intricately involved in. In addition to that, we expanded our open enrollment so that, as Kendall was saying earlier, now parents can request to send their children to other districts. They're not bound to the lines that are drawn entirely. There's still some issues there. There's still room for improvement, but it's getting better. And we got rid of the tuition payment there, which was amazing. That was a big, big thing. And then also, we're now public schools can offer specific courses to homeschooling students for free. It's kind of known as a Course Choice Act. I don't remember the name of the bill, but Rhonda Knudsen sponsored that one, and that expanded education freedom choices for students in Montana also.
Yeah,
it was a big year.
Yeah, Rhonda Knudsen, great. The mom of Attorney General Austin Knudsen, of course, the best AG in the country. You know, Kendall Cotton, as Trish was describing some of these accomplishments during the last legislative session, I forget where I heard this. Somebody had shared this information with me, but they made a great point. You know who one of the biggest beneficiaries of school choice has become here of late? Public school teachers. And they gave me this example. They said, hey, there's, and it might have even been a teacher who told me this. You could be a Bozeman public school teacher. And so that's where you drive into work every day, but you come in from Manhattan or Belgrade or Three Forks. And well, you want your kids to go to school in Bozeman because that's the school system you're teaching in, or vice versa. Maybe you live in Bozeman, but you're teaching out in Belgrade or Manhattan and you want your kids to go out there. But they were making the point that, like, public school teachers are benefiting immensely from this because they would have faced bureaucratic hurdles to have their own kids in their own schools, or maybe even forced to pay payments. Is that what I heard?
Potentially, yes. Absolutely. I mean, it was at the school district's discretion. I mean, honestly, and it shouldn't be that way. I mean, truly, if we're going to fund public education in Montana, it should be open to everybody. And there should be no lines drawn where you can and can't go. So we should be making sure that students have everything they need to succeed, that all of the choices are available to them, and that they can access them. I mean, that's really the goal. And, you know, you said it right. It doesn't just benefit students, it benefits teachers too. I mean, we were looking at a report that we put out here about a week ago that showed that only 15% of the dollars that we send for public education in the state, tax dollars, actually reaches the students and teachers in the classroom, like goes to teacher pay. Everything else is caught up in the bureaucracy. And so this is competition and choice is going to help us make this program and this education more efficient and help teachers, really.
Yeah. Trish, you mentioned how Montana and we the people elect our lawmakers. They make laws. The governor signed these bills into law, including, you know, public charter schools and private charter school options. But yet we have a radical left-wing partisan Montana Supreme Court that is allowing the public charter schools to move forward, but has been trying to block the private charter schools from moving forward. I mean, how pathetic, frankly, is that?
I know. It's very rough to see and to be on the other end of it. Okay, I'm going to make one slight terminology correction.
Please
they're
do.
Not private charter schools. They're known as community choice schools, and they're 100% public because they're regulated.
That's something
interesting.
That is one of the Democrats in the legislature. That was what we call the big lie that they have spun about school choice, is that these schools are private. And they are not. They are public schools.
And the terminology matters. It's like when I see these media outlets refer to these protests on college campuses as pro-Palestinian protests. No, that's garbage. These are Hamas terrorist sympathizer rallies. I've drank Turkish coffee with Palestinians in Israel who love living in Israel. They love the peace and the freedom that they get, even in the Jewish state of Israel, and the peace and the freedom that they would not get and some other Arab countries, including in the Gaza Strip, where it's run by Hamas terrorists right now. So terminology matters. Words matter.
Absolutely. And that's why they stick with it, is because, you know, they've done focus groups. And they realize nationwide that if they just keep saying they're private charter schools, then people just stick with the private. And then they see it as, you know, a privatization movement of our public funds. So anyhow, that's one of the arguments that's coming up in the court case, actually, is whether or not they are public or private. And in all the other states, 45 of the other states that have had these lawsuits, they're decidedly public.
So help a brother out here. It's, what's the correct terminology instead of private charter school? What's the terminology again?
Choice schools. Community choice schools.
All right. Yeah, because there's still actual public regulation on it. All right. Very interesting. As you can tell, lots of ground to cover here with Kendall Cotton, the Frontier Institute, and more.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, Kendall Cotton, the CEO of the Frontier Institute. By the way, Trish Schreiber is a senior education fellow for the Frontier Institute and lives in the beautiful community of Helmville, Montana, too. What beautiful country you get to live in there, huh? I mean, I love that drive as well. I shouldn't be telling people all the great back roads to drive, because then you'll get more traffic. But it's such beautiful country.
It is gorgeous. We feel very fortunate to be there.
Yeah. Kendall, I want to get your reaction, and Trish, feel free as well to jump in on this. So very interesting timing to have you here in studio with us, because we just had school elections on Tuesday. Now, if you ask me, one of the big changes we need in the next legislative session is the school elections can run at the same time as the other elections. Why did we spend all this money shipping out all these ballots, holding a separate election, when we have another election coming in at less than 1 month right now? But I digress. Look at these school levies. These things usually always pass in places like Billings and Helena. And yet so many of these school levies across the state got rejected by voters. What's your read on what happened Tuesday?
Well, I think the message is really clear from voters. Voters are telling these governments and school districts, I mean, schools are lumped in with the government, that a government needs to live within their means. And we're not going to give you any more tax dollars. You have enough. And you think that would be the message that these folks would be taken away. But if you go on Twitter, you look at a lot of the left-wing Democrat circles right now, they're trying to say that this is a Republican conspiracy to make everybody angry about taxes, and that's why these levies went down. And that's just ridiculous. I mean, really, the message is clear. Like, the government is spending too much money, they're requesting too much tax dollars, and people have had enough.
Well, and, like, we see the growth. If there's more people paying, if there's more houses, if there's more businesses, Montana is growing. We're doing better economically than all of those blue states elsewhere across the country. So we're seeing growth. We're seeing economic growth. So what does that mean? If more people are building houses in Helena, more people are paying property taxes. Ding, 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 ding. Or in other words, you just got more money. You got more tax dollars. Oh, and because of our flawed property tax system that bases property taxes off of the value of the home, you're getting more money from the existing taxpayers. So you're getting a whole bunch more money, but yet that's not enough. You got to raise our taxes even more. So of course these things got rejected, right?
Absolutely. And Trish has looked into this as well. I mean, at the end of the day, school districts right now in this year had more money than they've ever had. They were flush with cash. And a lot of it actually was a federal stimulus money. You know, this was money that was just showered on school districts during the COVID pandemic. And a lot of these districts ended up spending it on ongoing budget obligations that require more taxpayer dollars. So when the federal money went away, they had to go ask voters to raise their taxes.
Yeah. And Trish, Kendall actually made that great point very early on about Missoula. In Missoula, you had all these teachers protesting. They're going to cut our jobs. They're going to cut our programs. Well, that's because Missoula did what you shouldn't do, which is if you get one-time funds, make one-time investments. But they wanted to prop up their long-term budgets with one-time funds so they could go back to the taxpayers and say, give us all your money or else. And that's oddly enough, that's what Joe Biden is doing at the federal level right now,
right.
trying to prop up long-term budgets based off of one-time spending, basically.
Yeah, it's, you know, the money was temporary, and you just have to, you know, there are certainly investments that could have been made that were necessary. I know a lot of districts sent money back because they were like, you know, there were restrictions on what they could spend it on in the first place, but why not put restrictions on a kind of, you know, growth that will then need more money to back it up when it comes, you know, once the federal money runs out. So it's created, and this is happening nationwide. And, you know, all 50 states are experiencing the same thing right now.
Sure. Yeah, there's and simultaneously, though, Kendall, there's some school districts who made right decisions and good decisions and properly, you know, managed taxpayer resources and dollars. Just like there's counties that do it the right way and there's counties that do it the wrong way. And Missoula is an example of where they've done it the wrong way, by just constantly lumping more onto the backs of taxpayers.
Well, and you said it in your opening that, you know, oftentimes these school district levy votes are very low attended, you know, that has such low turnout from voters. And so in Missoula was one of the few areas that actually approved some of their levies. And, you know, the decision to raise taxes in those districts was made by like 20% of the people of the registered voters in the district.
Yeah, it's literally mob rule. I wish there was a way before they can come in and force money out of your pocket, force money out of our pockets, that they have to get more of a super majority in order to do that. That it can't just be this simple majority and now, boom, they get to come take money out of your pocket. It's crazy to me. The other thing that I think is happening here, and by the way, if you want to jump in on the conversation here, give us a ring. 294-0970. The great part about, you know, Kendall and the Frontier Institute is, man, they cover a range of topics. So if you want to call in about something, please do. The other point I quickly wanted to make here before I get to Debbie and Bozeman is, you know, take Billings, for example. School safety. We want you to have school safety. But you got to pay extra for that. Why isn't school safety, like, first and foremost? And then, like, we'll get to all the other stuff later, but it's like that was that the school safety levies got rejected by the voters. And it's like, okay, yeah, we all want school safety, but why is it like, yeah, you got to pay extra for that? And I think there's, it seems like Billings and School District 2, they've got a great new superintendent. I've gotten a chance, you know, he seems like a really solid guy. So I think he's trying to get them in the right direction. But the school board still has a leftist mob majority on there. And these same school board members who voted to keep assassination classroom in the classrooms are then saying, give us money for school safety. Why do we think you're going to use our money for school safety when you still support assassination classroom being on the bookshelves? I mean, like, so they've got a reputation to improve, right, Trish?
Yes, they do. And I can't speak for Billings specifically and what's going on there, but I think the real issue is it's the top-down system that's rotten at the core. And I feel for these school board members who are volunteering their time, working hard, trying to do their best. Most of them are not education experts or even business experts. And, you know, some of them are, but not all of them. And then the superintendents and the principals, there's a lot of responsibility of things they have to cover. And I can understand why it's a reaction to think, oh, if we just had more funds, then we could pay for these things to fix them. But I think the problem really is the constrictions of the law and how they're allowed to spend that money based on everything. And this is why education freedom, I think, is so important, is because we're saying, hey, if it's the system that's broken, because it's the same in all 50 states and D.C., and that cannot be a coincidence, then let's try to find a way to offer education to students that's a quality education by using some other kind of system. And this is where innovation comes in. It's really in business management. It's not so much about like, oh, I'm going to, you know, innovate a way to teach math or reading. We know how to teach math and reading. That part's easy. It's running a functional business that can actually give results for student outcomes.
Competition works. That's the key. Let's go to Debbie in Bozeman. Debbie, thanks for the call. What did you want to share?
Hi. I vote down tax bills for schools and pretty much right now everything else, because the taxes I'm paying on my house are about to put me out of a house. I don't have a big income. I can't get a big raise from my job, and it's just eating me alive. So, you know, it's like they keep saying, oh, it's just a pizza, or, oh, it's just a little bit. But it's been a little bit, a little bit, a little bit over many years, and those little bits have added up. And, you know, I'm paying my actual mortgage payments only around $1,200, but once you add all the taxes in, I'm up to almost $2,000.
Wow.
My wages do not meet that.
Yeah.
So I am.
And how are the grocery prices for you right now? And have you gone out to eat lately?
Yeah, well, there is that too. You know, everything has gone up. And the more you raise everybody's taxes, the more everybody's prices have to go up in order to cover that. And you're just killing the people on fixed incomes and lower income jobs. It's just, they always say, oh, we want to help people, so we're going to raise your taxes to help people. But you're just ruining it for everybody. I've worked at my job for 15 years, and I can't keep up.
And your story is shared by so many others, countless folks across Montana. Kendall, the thought that came to mind is, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? And we've got elephant-sized taxes and inflation that are hitting Americans right now.
Yep. And I think one of the most dangerous ideas to these folks who promote this system is simple. Fund students, not systems. That's what we need to be focused on. That's something that, you know, Corey DeAngelis has been big on. But it's a simple idea. Our school system spends like $13,000 per kid. Does that all of those dollars actually reach the kids in the classroom? It doesn't seem like it. So let's bring those dollars and focus that on the families and the students instead of the bureaucratic system, and we might be able to stretch taxpayer dollars farther.
About 1 minute to go before the break. Let's sneak in another caller. We've got Linda in Big Fork listening to KJJR. Linda, thanks for the call.
Hi, my kids are past grade school and public school now, but it's always been a curiosity to me. I think that the whole idea of school choice is wonderful, but the problem I see is, how do you balance the numbers of students? You have one school that's the most popular, is rated, you know, most successful, has all great things. Everybody's kids, you know, you want your kids to go there. You get, you know, you have five spots and 25 kids. How do you share the wealth, so to speak, so that, you know, a certain town might have a population of so many kids. They're going to ship theirs all out, you know, for choice, which is wonderful.
That's a great question. Or even, you know, a sports analogy. Okay, so the one high school on the other side of town got a great football coach in. Now all the good football players from the other two high schools want to go play for that same team now. And so, you know, even looking at it from that standpoint, Linda, great question. I know Kendall and Trish are just itching to respond to that question. So we'll get to that one first before we get to the callers right after this. 294-0970.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
This winter and spring, the Montana stock growers have been busy traveling the state of Montana, hosting listening sessions. Part of their producer profitability initiative, a grassroots movement started by cattle ranchers and led by cattle ranchers who have a vision to create a sustainable future for America's livestock industry. Livestock producers and industry stakeholders have two more chances to attend a producer profitability listening session. One of those is this evening in Great Falls at 5 p.m. at Western Livestock Auction. Montana Stock Growers Second Vice President Turk Stovall.
We've had over 500 farmers and ranchers come that really represented multiple different organizations. And there are other listening sessions that we really want to invite people to. So just go to mtbeef.org and you can get these other dates. And we really encourage some attendance there. And if you can't make it, please give your comments online.
Again, there's a listening session tonight in Great Falls at Western Livestock Auction starting at 5 p.m. And the final listening session will take place in Ronan on Monday, May 13th, starting at 6 p.m. at the Round Butte Women's Club. During the Montana Stock Growers Mid-Year Meeting in Miles City on May 29th, during the general opening session, stock growers will give a listening session update and sharing the priorities and action items that have been developed based on the sessions. I'm Lane Nordlund. Have a great day.
This is where Montana talks. Montana talks with Aaron Flint.
One thing I do want to ask Kendall and get his take on. You know, yesterday we had the Flathead County Sheriff and the Mayor of Kalispell on the show, and they said, look, we have no resources here. I don't have Russian speakers at the as sheriff's deputies to handle the illegal aliens from Russia, let alone the ones from Venezuela and elsewhere. I don't have the. We don't have the housing here. And isn't it interesting? The folks on the left, they create the crisis and then they try to capitalize on the crisis. We need housing. We need housing. Well, then the Frontier Institute, the governor, and a bipartisan group in the legislature deliver housing reform, and then a liberal judge shuts that down. We need housing. We need housing. Okay, well, then stop trafficking illegal aliens into Montana to exacerbate the housing crisis. Stop recruiting transients from other states to flood the state of Montana with all of your homeless programs. That only exacerbates the housing, but they want to create the crisis so then they can try to attack the governor over housing. It's like, anyway. Well, I want to get Kendall's take on that, but first, Kendall, Linda and Big Fork had a really good question. Hey, here's the challenge. Well, what if everybody flees this school and then they all want to go to that school? What do you do?
Well, Trish, I think, can answer that.
Great. So Linda brings up a great point, and we hear this all the time. And I think what's really important to remember is that there is no one way to school, and no one school can be all things to everyone. And even within the same family, I mean, if you're a family that has more than one child, you know how different they are and how unique they are. And they have different preferences and different needs. And so the idea of all education freedom coming to Montana and the possibility of new schools incubating is that we'll be able to replicate the good ones. So if there is a particular model that a community wants and they're full, we can open another one. And they can follow the same model that has the same curriculum. Whatever it is that's attracting those families, if there are more families that want it, then the market will decide we need another one of those schools. So replicating the successful schools is really important. But also, you know, there's the idea that hybrid schools are going to start to pop up and micro schools are going to start to pop up, and that this can kind of respond to our geography challenges that we have here in Montana, being spread out and having communities that are smaller that want options also. So we don't know what we're going to see develop in Montana. And that's the exciting part, is I keep thinking, I don't think I can predict what's going to happen, because I'm hoping whatever these school founders are that are out there, and oftentimes they are teachers. There are public school teachers who have had this idea of how they really want to run a school. And this is a liberating moment for them to take those ideas and run. They can go to the commission and ask to get a charter and have permission to have public funds in order to open up a new public school for the families where there's no tuition and it's open to everyone.
Interesting, yeah. Had a random question from Matt in Bozeman come in on the Montana Talks app here before I get to our next caller. Are you guys in Bozeman tomorrow? So the Frontier Institute is in Billings tonight for this Education Freedom Workshop. But Matt, I will be in Bozeman tomorrow. We are broadcasting live from the Hilton Garden Inn. So I'll be there broadcasting live tomorrow morning. I'll be at the Black Pot Distillery tonight, by the way, though, 5 to 7 if you want to join us there. And then the Fort in Big Timber on Friday night from 5 to 7. Let's take you to Lucas Schubert in Kalispell next up on the phone lines. Lucas, great to hear from you.
Hey, it's going good. Before I get into what I was planning to talk about, just want to say 100% we need to have these levy elections on the primary and general elections of even numbered years so that there's actually turnout, and 100% we need school choice. But what I wanted to talk about is that the Montana trial lawyers, these very far left group of lawyers, their board members are starting, I mean, we already know that they play in our judicial races, try to get far left judges across the line, but now they're starting to play in primary elections. Just as an example, my opponent, you know, he's getting donations from the Montana Trial Lawyers Association. You can look at the records, 40% of his money's coming from Democrat donors, but it's not just my race. It's races all over the state that the trial lawyers are trying to pick their preferred candidate in our Republican primaries. And we can't let that happen, because that determines whether or not we get judicial reform across the line, which is a completely all-encompassing issue. You know, we talk about school choice, that's being held up in the courts right now. And considering how these judges ruled previously, I wouldn't be surprised if they end up striking it down. So that's why it's critical that we elect legislators across the state that are going to take seriously the task of going after these far left judges, unlike my opponent and many other so-called Republicans that defended these judges in the last session. So,
well, and it's some great points there, Lucas. Thanks for calling in. And it goes back to the importance of these Supreme Court elections here in Montana as well. I mean, this one guy, Lynch is his last name, he openly admitted, I think it was in a Missoulian report or something, that he thinks that the court should be there to basically stop the legislature. I mean, he wants this lynch mob on the Montana Supreme Court to block the will of the people at every turn. It's outrageous. And I know, Kendall, we've seen it on a host of reforms, whether it's the state Supreme Court or a partisan district court judge, block reforms, like on housing reform in particular.
Absolutely. I think at the end of the day, I mean, this is such a critical election this year in Montana. Everybody wants to talk about the Senate race, but honestly, one of the most important races that's going to have lasting consequences is these Supreme Court races. And the voters need more information. I'm sure, Aaron, you're the same way. I always have people calling me during election time saying, who is this judge? What are they about? Are they a good guy or a bad guy? And the voters don't know, because these are nonpartisan elections. And so, you know, the legislature is working right now on, you know, judicial reforms. And part of that conversation needs to be, how do we get more information to the voters so they can discern what these judges' records are and what their judicial philosophy is going to be when they're on the bench?
Yeah, I had to laugh when you said good guy or bad guy. It reminds me of the Wreck-It Ralph cartoon movie. You know, you can be a bad guy without being bad guy, you know. back into the phone lines we go. Scott in Billings, did you have a quick question or comment? Thanks for calling.
Hi, Aaron. Thanks for taking the call, and thanks for the work that Kendall and Trish have done at the Frontier Institute on educational freedom. Just want to mention something about the mill levies. The reason those went down, everybody thinks, is just people are tired of paying higher taxes. Well, I think there's another reason besides that, and that is the indoctrination. The agenda in the schools, but the indoctrination that people are tired of. You look at these college protests, those seeds of that agenda did not just happen in higher ed. Those seeds were planted in K-12. They've just been nourished at the higher ed level. So if you're tired of this Marxist agenda at the college level, that's where a lot of it started. And it's because of 8 generations of government schooling. So it's not just the higher taxes. It's the indoctrination that people are tired of.
You know, incredible point. And I recognize the voice. Great guy there. Scott, thanks for calling in. Trish Schreiber, I mean, wow. Man, I need to take that audio and just replay it as promos from time
to time. I know, well said. And, you know, I'm going to loop this back to community choice schools, because this is something that doesn't get said often enough. And that, you know, the point Scott brought up about the indoctrination starting in the schools, I'm not suggesting that that's happening at every public school in Montana, but we know that it's happening in Sun.
Public school,
absolutely.
Teachers, they don't like this any more than you and I do.
Right, right. But, you know, the Overton window has changed, and kind of what we tolerate is so much different than what it used to be. But what's important is that community choice schools will have to state their mission, and they're going to say, this is the kind of school we want to be, and this is what we're about. So, quite frankly, if you're a school that's pro-Hamas and, you know, pro-Palestinian, and that's what you want to stand for, then say it out loud. So that way parents can choose whether or not they want to send their kids there. It becomes insidious when it's hidden and occluded, and people don't know what's going on. And again, going back to COVID, when parents started watching their children being educated on Zoom and they saw what was in the curriculum, I mean, in math textbooks even, or what's hidden in different stories, it became so obvious that this was not what they agreed with. But if that's the only option, that's the only option. So giving parents choices is important.
That's right. All right, we got less than a minute to go before our next break. It'll be the shortest break of the hour, but let's sneak on Dylan in Lodgegrass. Dylan, thanks for the call. What did you want to share?
Morning, Aaron.
Morning.
Hey, I just wanted to make a comment here about the vote yesterday that they actually tabled the vote to try to oust Speaker Johnson in the House of Representatives.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I just think that the Republicans in the House, and kind of all over, too, but everybody kind of needs just to learn to to work together, get along, and we don't see this kind of disunity in the Democrat Party. They work to get their stuff done. And if they would have tried to get Johnson out, that would have torpedoed the whole ability of this Congress to get anything done as far as for the election time.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with it. Just like, haven't you guys fought enough? Unite and get in the fight and stay in the fight through November, and then we can start to bring about some, you know, get America back on track again, right? Yeah, great point, Dylan. Thanks for calling.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, this ties in with what Scott in Billings was saying. So Paul in Bozeman, he called our producer Travis. He says, hey, can Aaron clarify, what is assassination classroom? So assassination classroom is, if you didn't see the story on our Montana Talks website, Brooke Wagner actually went and read the book, took photographs of the imagery in the book. Let's just say one of the photographs in the book is a young lady scantily clad in lingerie holding a smoking gun while she's straddling a teacher that she just assassinated. That's one of the imagery pieces in this book, Assassination Classroom, that the liberals on the school board in Billings defended to keep on the bookshelves. And yet they want to ask for more money for public safety. Wait a minute. Like, if you care about public safety, why are you pushing Assassination Classroom on the kids, right? So I hope that clarified for Paul or others out there. Yeah, it's like, what the heck? These people are nuts. Let's go to Sally in Bozeman. Sally, did you have a quick question or comment?
Hey, good morning, Aaron. Yeah, I wanted to chime in on something Kendall said a while ago about getting the money back to the children and the families and stuff. I recently found something in the FCC I was trying to research, try to look at their budget. I can't make any sense of their budget. You know, and I've done grad work, and I can't make any sense of these budgets. And whoever answered the phone was talking about trying to read a government budget is like reading a prospectus. You know, they just don't make sense. My point is, and my request would be, let's get school budgets at an eighth grade level so that not only the parents but the high school students can make sense of them and be engaged in how is this money being put to our benefit.
Great question. Great comment. Yeah, transparency. Audits. When's the last time we audited some of these school districts or school boards? I was chatting with a friend, and he grew up in Montana, but he had to live in Seattle for some time. And he said he was talking with his kids. They were traveling for a sports event. And his kids were saying, our teachers don't get paid enough. They're not making enough money. And we know there's some teachers who do not get paid enough. First-year teachers have struggled. That's why, you know, the Governor Gianforte has fought to increase some incentives for first-year teachers. But so you know what this guy did? Because there was an organization, they had a list of every school teacher in Seattle and how much money they make. So he looked it up. He said, hey, kids, you know how much your teacher makes? $125,000 a year. I mean, what if we had that kind of transparency, right, Kendall?
It's such a convoluted system, and it's characteristic of a lot of areas of government. And, you know, here's the vision. I mentioned earlier that we have, you know, we spend something like $13,000 per kid in the public education system here in Montana. That's a lot of money. So what if we, you know, a teacher was able to strike out on her own, start her own little private micro school, and say, okay, we'll charge, you know, $10,000 tuition a kid. That's less than we're spending in the public education system per kid. And she could, you know, have a class of 10 kids, make $100,000. You know, that's a good living for a teacher, and it's low bureaucracy. It's literally just educating kids in
a classroom. Or you could, I mean, because one of the things I was thinking about asking Trish Schreiber before we run out of time is, like, we know people get how school choice helps people in more, you know, bigger towns like Billings, Bozeman, Missoula, Kalispell, et cetera. But for people out in the country, some people see it as a threat to their local public school because – but I could see where you could have a small one-room schoolhouse country school doing what Kendall just described right there, but yet then those kids still get to play on the the Malta football team or the Glasgow football. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Sort
of where they're still a part of that community public school, but yet they have an option if they live way out in the sticks.
Right. So we're hoping to see a lot of that, you know, go on now. I mean, especially with being able to take, you know, make good use of the Montana Digital Academy and or the course choice options, you know, if you need to do that. But I'm hoping to see a lot of hybrid schools where maybe kids, you know, all the studies are showing that most parents don't even want to send their children to school 5 days a week. And some districts have gone down to 4 days a week, but with a hybrid model, you could make that 2 days or 3 days, depending on what's right for your family. And then you're picking up the home education at home too. So, because there is a lot of community involvement going on. So you want to be anchored somewhere with, you know, a social community for sure.
Yeah. I got a follow-up note from Matt in Bozeman. He's going to stop by and say hi in Bozeman tomorrow when I'm at the Hilton Garden Inn. He says, I'm headed to Ennis in the morning for an interview. I got to get out of this town. He says, Joe in Helena messaged us. The Helena School District has over a dozen employees making more than the governor. Way too many top brass. That's from Joe in Helena. And I think I know his last name, but I won't, unless he added it, I won't share it, unless he wants me to. But yeah, that's kind of interesting.
That's something we found in our research, is that the school district, the public education system, is spending more and more on facilities and administration, paying superintendents more, giving them raises. And the teachers are getting the shaft. Teacher pay is not keeping up with the scale of increases for administrative staff and for what we're spending on facilities. So you talk about priorities of our public education system. We're not prioritizing educators. We're not prioritizing the kids. And that's really what we need to get back to.
We're almost out of time. We only got about 30 seconds to go. Mike in Bozeman, sorry I didn't get to you. He wanted to talk about school choice and all of the crazy taxes he has to pay there in Bozeman. But 20, 30 seconds to go here. Kendall, is the event tonight, this Education Freedom Workshop, is it open if anybody can make it in Billings?
That's right. It'll be here at the Doubletree. Doors open at 5:30. Event starts at 6. Anybody's welcome. We're going to be calling attention to all the options that we were just talking about on this morning's show.
All right. And, yeah, check out the Frontier Institute website. What's the website again?
Frontierinstitute.org.
All right. Check it out because, I mean, Kendall, they'll do these events all across the state, not just on education but housing and so much more. So get a hold of them and, see how you can get involved because they're doing some really cool things. Hey, we'll see you in Bozeman tomorrow live from the Hilton Garden Inn.